Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you hear a heaviness in my heart, it's there, absolutely. As you, most of you know, we broadcast from the Twin Cities, and our city is on fire, literally, physically, emotionally right now. And I'm asking you, would you please pray? No matter where you're listening from, we are desperate for a move of God. You've no doubt heard about the murder of George Floyd, a man made in God's image. It's devastating. It's so hard on these days that I have to go on the air when I really just want to break down and lament and sob and cry out to God. And I'm just so heartbroken over it. And you've got people who are peacefully protesting, which to me is downright heroic when you think of the injustice that they've endured. But then you've got others who are destroying their own city. Our city is on fire. Buildings have been burned to the ground, and people have had to flee their homes with their children because of the violence and the rage. And this is so beyond us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. And it's timely. I always marvel at the timing of God. We book our guests a good month out, but God knows. And we pray always, lead us by the power of your Spirit, Lord. God always knows. And He knew we needed to talk to Pastor Dr. David Chadwick today. His book is titled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. We've got a good stack to give away. I get a feeling we may need more than a stack. If you need a book to help just settle your heart and ground yourself in the Word, we would love to get a copy in your hands. You can enter the drawing this way. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. But we want Dr. Chadwick and I also, we're going to talk about the content of his book, but we're going to kind of go in a little bit unplanned direction, but we want to be here for you. He said it was his pleasure to pastor you through this. So if you need prayer, we would love to stand with you. If you just need to process a little bit, you know, we've got a number of African-American friends who talk about before this happened, just say they hold their breath. They live with a constant state of threat, and racism that we can't possibly understand. And we want so much to stand with you, no matter where you're coming from. This is quite a time. And if we pray together, we humble ourselves together, God hears our prayers and He will move. And we want to stand with you. If we can help you, pray with you. And maybe you've got anxiety for a totally different reason. You're watching, you know, the death toll on the coronavirus or the stock market or whatever. We want to stand with you because God is on His throne. His promises are true. And He will always make a way for you. I'll get Dr. Chadwick on again in a moment. His book, again, is titled Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's possible. Did you know that? Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. All right, quick announcement before we hear from Dr. Chadwick. I'm not sure if you've heard the news, but I'm moving to a new time slot beginning next week. My show will move to the 3 o'clock hour. I do pray this time works for you. Faith Radio is growing. The show is growing, and we want so much to reach as many people as possible. And this is a strategic move. We really believe God's led us to do that. I've loved serving you in this noontime slot. Just so you know, because I know some of you will have the question, what's going on in the noon hour starting next week? Well, Truth for Life with Alistair Begg will begin to air at 11:30. Summit Life will begin at noon. The Faith Radio Highlights, kind of a little magazine, 15 minutes, the highlights of all of our shows, 12:30. And Just Thinking at 12:45. Just want you to know that. And David, we appreciate you so much. We bless you, and we thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie. It's a privilege being with you. And I'm situated in Charlotte, North Carolina. And 3 years ago, we had a similar occurrence, and our city faced a huge racial divide. And we're still experiencing some of the reverberations even today. And I pray for your city. I know there's great pain going on in so many people's lives. One of the phrases we used here that helped us such a great deal was empathy is the pathway to progress. Let me say that again. Empathy is the pathway to progress. And for those of us with a lighter skin hue, if we could begin to empathize with those of our brothers and sisters with a darker skin hue, it would begin to process the healing much better. Yeah. And I hope that can happen there.
Oh, thank you for that so much. The lines are open if we can pray for you. 877-933-2484. Appreciate that so much. Dr. Chadwick, and we love to start every day. And you and I got talking so much before the live show, I forgot to give you the heads up on this, but you're a man of the word, so I think you can handle this question. But we love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's either a life verse or one you've just been pondering these days that you can share with us.
Well, it's partly related, Susie, to my book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's Romans 12, verse 2, where Paul said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And, you know, we are not transformed by information. Transformation takes place by the mind being not only given information, but literally a change of perspective and how we look at things. And I believe with all of my heart that what we feel, the anxiety we're going through, even right now, is directly relatable to how we think. And if we want to change our feelings, we need to change how we think. Feelings are related to our thought life. And our thought life right now is being bombarded with all kinds of negativism, not just what you guys are going through right now with the racial divide, but all of our social media, all of our news outlets are living by the source, if it bleeds, it leads. And we're filling our minds with all kinds of fear and worry. And the natural outgrowth of that's going to be behavior that expresses that fear and worry. So I would just invite everyone to have their minds transformed by God's word, by his truth. And when you do, not only are you set free, but we have this great promise, the peace that passes all understanding will be ours in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah. And imagine that, friends, peace that is beyond understanding. And, you know, Dr. Chadwick, we've talked many times on this show. It's just something I feel strong about is we've got to steward our inputs. And that means the news as well. I mean, you want to stay up, of course, on what's going on in the world. But I think we overvalue that because we can't deny the fact that you're getting news from all these biased sources. And as you said, fear sells. And we are just the consumers of it. So we've got to be able to take a stand and say, I can only handle this much before I lose my faith, my perspective, my soul gets tied up in knots. We have to really pay attention to what we have the grace for, don't we?
Exactly. And what did Paul mean in 2 Corinthians 10:5 when he said, take every thought captive that enters your mind? Well, if thoughts come in that create fear and anxiety, then that produces behavior that's unhealthy. Then the only way you can counteract that is by literally, in the Greek, the word is take captive, spearing that thought and inviting it out of your mind, not letting that input come into your mind, and then more so replacing those negative thoughts with the thoughts of God's word, the thoughts of promise, the thoughts of hope, and all the things that God gives us in his word, and let that fill your mind. And I do believe with all of my heart that's the pathway to peace.
Amen. And I love this. Let's talk about the difference between anxiety and fear. You said anxiety is thinking that something bad might happen to you. Fear is the belief that something bad will happen to you. When chronic anxiety persists, inevitably leads to fear. Say more, if you would.
Yeah. You know, when I was asked by my publishers to write this book, and your listeners may not know, I have a graduate degree in counseling from the University of Florida, and in that psychotherapeutic model that I was trained in, I have understandings of how the human mind operates. Then I was called into ministry, and I've been trained in Bible and theology since then. I came to understand that there really is a difference between anxiety and fear. And they're related, but they're different. Anxiety is the belief that something bad might happen. Fear is the belief that something bad will happen. There is a difference, but they're tied together. 90% of what we worry about, and I think anxiety and worry and fretting, to use another biblical term, are all synonymous. They're the same thing. 90% of what we worry about never happens. Statistics prove it. Studies have shown it. 90% of what we worry about never happens. So if you can control your mind so that anxiety never occurs, you've basically cut off the snake of fear, the head of the snake of fear. Fear then will dissipate. It will evaporate because anxiety isn't feeding it. Fear is the belief that something bad will happen. Well, if you're believing that something bad might not happen, then the fear of something bad actually happening will go away. So that's why I chose to address anxiety in the book and not fear, because, again, I believe if you address anxiety, fear will flee.
Boy, that's such a good word, good perspective. Remember looking up one of the verses on fretting and did a word study on it, and it compared fretting to wearing a path bare in the carpet. And I thought that is, you know, back and forth on the same path because you're, you know, racing through your thoughts. And isn't that such a picture of what happens in the neural pathways in our brain? When you travel back and forth down the same path of worry, of fret, it really does hardwire into your mind, making it instinctive to go to that place. But we can interrupt those. You said this over and over again in your book. You have a choice. So say a word about that.
Yeah, we are the sum total of all of our life choices. And being created in the image of God means a lot of things. But one of the things it means is God has given us the distinct privilege of making choices, even independent of Him, if we want to. And again, in our life's choices, we become that particular choices that we have made. So we've got to be aware of what choices we're making, and we can change our choices. You know, you made a great illustration of fretting is walking back and forth. Well, if you do that over and over again, you eventually create a rut, and a coffin is nothing more than a rut with two sides now being built in it. And you become dead in those particular thoughts. So you can choose to change your thoughts. You can choose to get out of that rut and start walking a different path. That's what the Lord clearly said, that walking after Him is following His paths. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and trust in Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. That's that whole path. You can make a new path in your walk with the Lord if you so choose to do so.
Very good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to talk about this. I think it'll be a great relief to somebody. You say anxiety in itself is not a sin. Do you hear that, friend? Anxiety in itself is not a sin, but as Dr. Chadwick says, it can lead to sin, though. That's why we've got to get it, and we've got to nip it, right? Talking to Dr. David Chadwick, his book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. We've got a stack to give away. Love to get a copy in your hands. If you feel like you need it today, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions, you can send those in a separate text. I have a question for you, though. What are you most worried about these days? You can share, and you can be anonymous if you want, but I would love to know. Engage with us. More with Dr. Chadwick in a moment.
Every time I'm in this place,
thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. Susie Larson here talking to Dr. David Chadwick. What a pastor's heart he has, as he is a pastor. His book is titled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. We've got a good stack of books to give away. If you're battling anxiety, I'd love to get a copy into your hands. You can enter the drawing by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. Really appreciated, Dr. Chadwick, how you said anxiety in itself is not a sin. You know, I think someone needed to hear that today. Say more if you would.
Yes, a lot of people, especially those of faith, feel anxiety, and they read the scripture and think, oh no, I'm such a great sinner, I'm anxious. And the truth is, anxiety is an emotion. It is the result of our thought life. Again, I tell your listeners and remind them that what we think causes us to feel what we feel, and then our feelings cause behavior. If you want to change behavior, don't try to change feelings, change your thought life. So if you're feeling anxiety, there's something informing that anxiety. So anxiety with it in and of itself is not a sin, but what is informing that anxiety is a sin. And what the scripture constantly addresses, and Jesus did himself even, is our unbelief. Unbelief is a sin, Susie. Our lack of dependence upon the Lord, our lack of trust in Him in all things, our lack of surrender to Him with our different issues in life, that's what's the sin. And so if we're feeling terribly anxious, unless there may be some medical issues that are causing it, and I understand, too, there are different genetic predispositions that cause some to be more timid than others, but generally speaking, anxiety is caused by a person's refusal to trust God in every way. So I would invite your listeners to understand that anxiety is not the sin. Go to your thought life and find those places where you've really not gone to the Lord and said, it's your deal. It's your job to oversee my life and to take care of these issues. And then hear from the Lord, I've got this. It's in my hands. Trust me. I'm sovereign. I oversee all. I'm sitting on my throne. And I think in that kind of faith perspective with the Lord, there we are filled with faith. And then when you're filled with faith, you have the presence of God. And how many times in the scripture does it say, fear not, for I am with you. You know that God is taking care of this. And then you'll see anxiety starting to flee.
Wow, Dr. Chadwick, thank you so much for that. I have to say, we got texts coming in, different people asking different things, and we'll weave these into the conversation. But one listener says, the video regarding what I'd said at the open of the show about George Floyd, I'd mentioned the murder of George Floyd. And he said, the video certainly looks like murder, but calling it murder on the air before a trial and conviction is the same mentality that makes lynchings justifiable. And I just want to say, I ask your forgiveness for that. I'm so undone by this, and I wrong word choice, and I appreciate that very much. And then Tina said, would you please pray for our law enforcement and families, as we will now be guilty by association. I'm so anxious and fearful for my husband going back to work tonight. Anger and backlash is already starting locally, even from our own family. One officer's terrible decision will now be a cross to bear for my husband and his fellow officers. My heart aches for what happened. I'm praying for all those directly involved. Tina, I can't even tell you how much my hubby and I said these exact words this morning. We have a nephew who's a law enforcement official. And that's the thing is, you know, most law enforcement officials, most of them sign up to keep the peace, to protect the vulnerable and the innocent. And by association now, I wonder, Pastor, if you would pray for our law enforcement, because Tina, and for Tina's husband, because this is a terrifying time.
I would be more than happy to. Daddy, Heavenly Papa, in Jesus' name we come to you. And I know that you are crying with us as you watch what has happened in Minneapolis. When you see how George Floyd was treated wrongly by a police officer who behaved how he behaved for reasons we may not even know forever, but you know. And you cry over sin. You sent your son to die on a cross to suffer the greatest possible death because of that sin. Oh, Daddy, in Jesus' name, I pray for Tina. I pray for her husband. I pray for all law enforcement officials. First of all, Lord, I pray that we out there would not have prejudice to assume that all of them are like the police officer who smothered George Floyd. I pray that we would realize that the vast majority, as Susie has said, really do see their call. Like the Bible says, a police officer's call is just as real as my call as a minister of the gospel. Mm-hmm. They're ministering in your name to protect and serve. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we would realize that, and our anger toward one would not manifest itself as an anger toward all. And I pray in Psalm 91 language that the angels of heaven would protect all police officers, not only in Minneapolis, but all over our nation. I pray they would not let any harm come to them. I pray they not let the police officers trip and fall in any possible way. Jesus. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that everyone who leaves home in the next hours and in the next days would come home safely, and you would guard the hearts of the Tinas of the world who see their spouses leave and feel anxiety. Oh, Lord, let them see themselves under your wings, under your protection, under your care, and that you would take care of every single one of them and allow them to return home safely to their spouses and to their children. You, oh, Lord, are the protector and the defender of all people. You're the strong tower. You say that when we run into you, you protect the righteous. And I pray you would continue to do so. Please calm the nerves of everyone in Minneapolis. Bring people to that understanding of empathy is the pathway to progress. Let us empathize with our brothers and sisters all over the city. And as we do so, Lord, we can find that common human ground that we're all created in your image. And together we can find the solution to love and not hate. I pray this, Daddy, in the name of Jesus, who's the manifest of your love here on this earth. Oh, yes, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Dr. Chadwick. And Tina, I want to make sure you get a copy, one of the copies of Dr. Chadwick's book. So just if you'd email middays@myfaithradio.com, remind me of this conversation. I'll remember it, but I just get a lot of emails. We're going to set aside a copy for you. Wow, that was beautiful and powerful. You really are a pastor. Well, you say in the book that we have this very real enemy at work behind the scenes, which we can just evidently see. All you have to do is turn on the news. And you write this, we need to be wise to his ways. You say the enemy of your soul, the devil, knows how life works. He understands how human behavior works. And he does not want you to live in God's love and peace. He realizes that if he attacks your mind and you believe his lies, then you'll behave in godless, destructive ways. I want you to hear that again in light of what's going on here again. This is really powerful because we don't need to be obsessed with the enemy, but we need to be wise to his schemes, as Dr. Chadwick says. The enemy of your soul, the devil, knows how life works. He understands how human behavior works, and he does not want you to live in God's love and peace. He realizes that if he attacks your mind and you believe his lies, then you will behave in godless, destructive ways. Say more if you would.
Well, I think we need to understand what Paul said in Ephesians 6, that we do not war against flesh and blood, but we war against powers and principalities of the darkness. The truth is there is an invisible eternal world that is alongside this visible temporal world. In that invisible eternal world are demonic forces and agencies that want to kill, steal, and destroy from us. The way they do so is by planting in our minds hatred and all kinds of anger, bitterness, strife that causes us then to behave in that way. Susie, we need to remind ourselves that the devil has many different names in the Bible, but the name the devil is particularly interesting. Diabolos, it means literally the divider. You know,
whoa.
Jesus said, united we stand, divided we fall. So the devil understands that very clearly. So he puts hatred and strife into our minds so that we'll act out division. We see that in marriages, don't we, where a husband or a wife starts to feel anger toward the other. The ultimate goal of the devil putting that anger in your mind is for you to divorce. That's what divorce is. It is a division in a nation. What does he want to do? He wants to divide us. So he puts angry thoughts in the minds of black people, in the minds of white people, and he divides us along the boundaries of different things we believe that we've allowed to enter into our mind. And as long as he can create strife and as long as he can divide, he's accomplishing his purposes. James 3, 13 through 16 is so powerful, but it says that where there is strife, there's every evil thing. Strife and division opens up the mind to every evil thing. And as long as the enemy can divide, there can't be power. So I pray for Minneapolis. I pray for all cities around this nation and around the world that we won't fall prey to the enemy's tactics. Now, the enemy can only tempt. He can't get us to do anything. We still have choice. Only God is sovereign in this world. The enemy is a creature, but he's a powerful creature. He plants thoughts, temptations in our minds to try to lure us into his activity. Our job is to recognize that temptation and to say that anger, that bitterness, that strife, that is not from God. Our Father, our Daddy in heaven is a God of love. He's a God of unity. He's a God of hope. He's a God of blessing. So therefore, when that strife and anger enters our mind, we take it captive, we usher it out, and we replace it with thoughts of hope, thoughts of blessing, and mostly thoughts of love. We even learn how to forgive one another who've hurt one another. And that's the pathway to unity. And where there's unity, there's power, in Jesus' name.
Man, somebody's got to give me an amen today. Somebody's got to text me an amen. Talking to Dr. David Chadwick, his book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. Powerful conversation. More with him in just a moment. Play out. You know, we're talking anxiety today, and aren't we in an anxious, fearful world? And people are reacting, man. If that devil can get you to react to your stuff rather than respond to God, as my guest today said, he'll create divisions everywhere, and he's doing it right now. But still, Jesus promised us peace that passes understanding. In every situation, he can lead us into the eye of the storm. And sometimes you do need to turn off the bad news for a bit and worship God. But that doesn't mean you put your head in the sand. That means you still stand up in the face of injustice. You'd still speak out. You still pray. Like, there's a God in heaven who hears you when you call, because there's a God in heaven who hears you when you call, and your prayers matter to him. Talking to pastor, author, Dr. David Chadwick. And again, we book guests a month in advance. In days like today, I marvel at God's divine, loving timing. He booked him today because he knew we needed him today. His book is titled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. We've got a stack to give away and love to get your name in the drawing. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Talk, if you would, about some of the causes of anxiety, Dr. Chadwick.
Oh, there are multitudes of reasons, Susie. And, you know, when I agreed with my publishers to write the book about a year and a half ago, interestingly, the major negative emotion that people were experiencing then was anxiety. The second major cause of teen suicide then was anxiety. So It was a message that needed to be stated a year and a half ago. And here we are now dealing with everything that's going on today. And it's like embers of anxiety with gasoline poured on top of it, or anxiety on steroids is a way somebody else put it. Since the COVID-19 crisis broke out, interestingly, there's been an increase of 34% in anxiety medications. I read the other day that since the COVID crisis, there's been an 800% increase in the numbers of phone calls to suicide hotlines. So we have a real problem in our culture. What's causing it? Well, largely it's what you've referred to already, and that's the amount of information we receive daily. We all have access, obviously, to television screens, but now the screens on our cell phones allow us to know what's happening next door and worldwide within seconds. And that rapid communication into our brains causes us to respond emotionally. Since most of that information is negative, then we can see how that causes anxiety to be a problem. Another one, Susie, is the loneliness that exists in our culture. People are moving all around the culture, detached from their families. Loneliness and isolation have increased exponentially, and people just aren't connected to one another like they should be. In Great Britain right now, they actually have a cabinet position called the Minister of Loneliness. It's because they've recognized the detachment of people from one another. You know, in the 1990s, Robert Putnam wrote a monumental work called Bowling Alone. He concluded then that people were becoming separated from one another, and as in the previous decades, people bowled in bowling leagues as a part of their community, now in isolation, more and more people are bowling alone. And here we are, two decades after that book was written, and the problem has only been enlarged. So those are a couple of the reasons, among many others, that cause our brain to feel like there's no hope in our world, we're despairing, we don't have people and community to help us move along. And because of that, anxiety then is increasing because our minds are focused on a hopelessness and despair that we think is surrounding us.
Well, you know, that's so good. I've got to share, a few people have asked how I'm doing. I battled some chronic health issues, some Lyme disease stuff my whole adult life. And I had kind of a scary thing happen almost 2 weeks ago. I like to work out, and that helps me stay healthy with the stuff that I deal with. And I ride a cycle, an indoor cycle, and I ride hard, and I ride too hard sometimes. And I was on a time crunch. It was a week and a half ago on Monday, and I got off the bike before I was fully cooled down, and my heart rate was up high. And it didn't come down. It didn't come down for a week and a half. So, and then I was having surges of increased heart rate when I just was standing there, where I would start to feel like I was going to pass out. And ended up in the ER twice this past weekend, once by ambulance. So it was very stressful, as you can imagine. But I remember just lying in. I had to go alone because, you know, it's COVID crisis. My hubby couldn't. He had to drop me off at the curb at the ER. And anyway, it was terrible. But anyways, lying in there, and I had earbuds on and worship music on, and I could feel my heart just beating out of my chest. Part of it was because my pulse was, I couldn't get it to come down, but part of it was anxiety. And I just got the sense from the Lord saying, you know, instead of wanting things to change, look for an encounter with me here. And I just took some deep breaths, and I just started to listen to the worship music. And then I was looking for the manna, and then I thought, these healthcare workers are just downright heroes. I'm going to encourage every single one that I can. And I can't tell you, Dr. Chadwick, I mean, in the midst of something that was super stressful, and I see a cardiologist on Monday, and I'm already starting to feel better, but I do have some electrical thing going on in my heart. But I just, all that, people are asking, so I just need to say that. But my point being, when we get blindsided by something that is really scary, even there, there's manna. I mean, really, when I settled down and settled in and thought, I have access to God here, and he has manna for me here, I found it. And I was actually at peace in the eye of the storm. I just want you to speak to that, if you would, because I couldn't believe the story that you wrote about when you and your wife, Marilyn, went to Lebanon, and you asked these dear people, these Christians, are you afraid of ISIS? And they looked at you like you were from another planet. So I want you to just speak to that idea when you're faced with a very real threat, but there's still peace available to you.
You know, when Marilyn and I went to Lebanon, the people here discouraged us from going, saying, oh, ISIS is over there. We actually had a friend who was getting counseling here because of all the threats of ISIS that were, you know, thousands upon thousands of miles away. And then when we went there with people who had ISIS right next door, they said, we believe God's going to protect us. And they weren't bothered whatsoever. It is odd indeed, Susie, to see that comparison in our lives. Here's what we would say. We really believe Isaiah 58:10 is true. In fact, Marilyn, my wife, has had that as a life verse for years. I actually had a bracelet made for her with that inscription on it. And for those who may not know what it says, in Isaiah 58, God is fairly ticked off with the Israelites, especially with them just going through the motions of worship. They were praying and they were praising, but their hearts were far from the Lord. And the Lord said, you are anxious about so many different things. Here's what I want you to do in Isaiah 58:10. I want you to go give bread to the hungry. I want you to go give help to the needy. I want you to go give life to those who are hopeless. And he said, in so doing, you will find that your own depression will lift like the noonday sun. It is an oddity. It doesn't seem to make sense, but it is thoroughly biblical that you find your life when you lose your life in something greater than yourself. So when you're in the ER room with your heart palpitating out of control and God says to you, go care for somebody else. It is a spiritual principle that your peace will come as you give your life away to someone else. I don't understand it. It doesn't really make sense that as I care for others, my own needs will be met, but it is as biblical as the day is long. And Susie, I'd say one more thing too. I'd encourage all of your listeners to, in Stephen Covey language, which isn't necessarily a biblical truth, he said it though, and it is true, begin with the end in mind. Settle your eternity now. Know where you're going. Then when those moments come when your heart is racing out of control, you don't have to worry about your eternal destination. You know that's secure, and that does decrease anxiety as well. I'd love to share with your listeners, too. Several weeks ago, my temperature shot up. I had chills. I had aches. I had pains. I called my doctor. He said, those are every indication that you have COVID-19. Wow. So I went immediately to the emergency room and had the nasal swab, which I think is probably worse than the disease itself. But they did the test for 24 hours. I had to wait for that response. And I'm a little bit older, and I have a few pre-existing conditions. And so I had to deal with the fact that I really do believe that I'm going to heaven. I really believe that if I die from this thing, I'm going to heaven. Well, it turned out it was negative. But then again, only one out of three of the tests are actually positive to the, accurate to this day. But I didn't know during that 24 hours. I would encourage all of your listeners, I know you're there as well, Susie, know your eternal home, know your destiny. And when you know that, somehow, some way, all of the anxiety of this world slowly but surely decreases, and decreases even more as you learn how to give your life away, especially to the poor and the needy who surround you.
Boy, that is so good. And you're right. There's just countless opportunities to be anxious, which means there's as many opportunities for faith, for belief, to look up, to see eternity. And I don't know if this helps you, friend, listening today, but sure has me, because I had a lot of angst around just some of my health issues prior to this. And I wanted things to be different. I was tired of the battle. And I realized, I often talk about when I'm speaking, I teach on knowing the difference between surrendering to your circumstances and surrendering to God in your circumstances. And I'm a fighter. I wasn't going to let this thing overtake me. So I did not surrender to my circumstances, but I realized I hadn't surrendered to God in my circumstances. I had angst because I wanted things to be different. And I'd love for you to speak to the idea. But when I just said, Lord, you know the end of my days. You know where I live. I can't make this different than it is. So I'm going to start looking to encounter you here. And, you know, I'm going to look for the manna. I mean, peace settled in. I just don't want us to postpone joy. And I'm not saying settle in unbelief. It's actually settling in faith, going, God, you know where I live, and you will make a change when the time is right. But I'm not going to put off living abundantly and peacefully until then.
Well, Susie, let me put it another way, but I think you're right on target. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 to give thanks to God in all things. Now, notice he didn't say give thanks to God for all things. For example, I don't give thanks to God for multiple sclerosis. That's an evil disease. I don't give thanks to God for cancer. That's an evil intrusion into God's once perfect created order. But those are realities of a fallen world, and we are all potentially going to have to experience things like that in our lives because we ourselves live in fallen bodies. We are fallen in our spirits. We have fallen people all around us. We're interdependent and interconnected with them, and what they do could hurt us. But what we do give thanks for is in the situation, in the circumstance, because we believe in every negative situation, God's in it. He's somehow working and using it together for our good and his glory. And if we then give thanks for the circumstance and how God's working in and through it, we can handle the circumstance because we know God's somehow using it for his glory. That allows us to keep moving forward, to keep dealing with the situation and trusting him in it because we know God controls everything and even the fallenness of this world he's using for his good.
Amen, amen. We're going to pause here, but I got to read this quote from the book. Victory over anxiety begins with faith. What you believe influences how you feel. What you believe influences how you feel. And faith is God's antidote to anxiety. So whatever is pressing on you today, look up, because even a seed of faith can make all the difference in the world. Think eternity. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. We're living for the long haul, right, friends? Talking to Dr. David Chadwick. His book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. Such an important word for our day. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. When we come back, we'll talk childlike faith. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. David Chadwick. What a divinely timed show today was. Again, I marvel because we book our guests a month out and just know that God orchestrated our connection today. His book is titled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. We've got a good stack to give away, which I love to do on this show, which we will do when I move to the 3 o'clock hour. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. This dear listener writes, our church is going through some major division right now. What Dr. Chadwick just spoke on spoke directly to my heart. Thank you. Thank you so much. For coming today. We're not done, so don't say goodbye to me yet, Dr. Chadwick. Don't leave me here. All right, this is what you write, and I think it's precious. You said, a childlike faith shows utter dependence on the Father. You just know that Daddy will protect you, provide for you, oversee and guide you, give grace to your every moment and every situation of your life. His loving arms will surround you, hold you closely, and never forsake you. Jesus wants to set you free from all anxiety, and faith in him causes fear to flee. Say more about that, if you would.
Well, I think faith is the antidote to anxiety. You know, Jesus said it himself. Well, one of the chapters in the book is entitled Consider Creation. And Jesus begins that whole passage in Matthew 6:25 with, don't be anxious about anything. And he uses things like finances and flowers and our food and our fashion, all those things that we tend to worry about on this side of eternity as examples that we shouldn't worry about. And he specifically points to two things. First of all, the lilies of the field. And then secondly, the birds of the air. And he says to us, If God the Father, and he calls him our Heavenly Father, cares so much for these smaller parts of his created order, these three words, Susie, so important, how much more? How much more does Daddy in heaven care for you, his children, who are the crown of his creation? So no good daddy ever denies his children their needs, their basic needs in order to survive and live. He cares for them deeply. Well, if that's true with earthly daddies, how much more the heavenly daddy who loves us and cares for us? So as his children, we come to him, and he wants us to come to him. In my prayer life, I imagine every day a certain place that I have in my home, and my daddy in heaven is waiting for me there. He wants to encounter me. He wants me to come to him and ask him anything. So therefore, we come with a childlike faith saying, Daddy, I trust you with everything in my life. I know you'll supply my every need, and you'll lift me up as a good daddy does a child close to your bosom, and you'll draw me close to yourself, and you will not only love me deeply, you'll care for me and give me everything I might need in order to live in this life. Susie, that picture of the heavenly daddy is the essence of faith, and us as children who come to him with our every need. And interestingly, in that same passage in Matthew 6:25 and following, Jesus chides his disciples and says to them, O you of little faith. He wants us to come to him like children, to a heavenly daddy, and trust him with everything. I think when we do so, anxiety lessens, indeed it flees.
Wow. When did you start talking to the Father, calling him daddy? When you prayed for Tina, and as a law enforcement's wife, a law enforcement official's wife, I was really overwhelmed by that prayer. And I mean, I have a very thriving prayer life. I could spend all day just in intimacy and praying with, I just love that. But to listen to you pray just almost brought me to my knees. It was your familiarity with your Abba Father was so precious to me. Was there a point that you can think of in your walk of faith where the light turned on for you and you realized the fatherly affection he has for you?
Yeah, well, first of all, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. So he's the one who taught us that God's a Father. Mm-hmm. You see the whole idea repeatedly in the scripture that God is our Father. And then Paul talks about it as well. But I think when it really hit me, Susie, was one day I was reading the Garden of Gethsemane story. And there's Jesus the day before the cross, facing the most horrific physical and spiritual pain imaginable. I think the horrific pain physically would have been enough for him to cry out to his daddy in heaven. But when you think about the spiritual pain, you know, Jesus and the Father were one. There was a union life there. And he knew that when our sins were poured upon him on the cross, that he'd have a separation from his Father. And the thought of that was just too much. So how does he cry out to his own Father in his pain, looking to the cross? The next day, he calls God Abba. And for those of you know that's an Aramaic euphemism that a child would call his father literally that day, Abba, Daddy. So Jesus started calling his father Daddy in his prayer life, and it just dawned on me, Susie, I should do the same. If Jesus is my big brother and God is my father, I should pray the way my big brother who came to this earth to teach me how to pray, prays. So I just started when I prayed calling God Daddy. I call him Papa sometimes because that's one of my favorite terms my kids call me. And I just found myself in intimacy and familiarity with him. It's still in great reverence. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father who is in heaven. There's a holy reverence there that's a part of it. But it's like my earthly dad, whom I love so much, has gone to be with Jesus in heaven. He was my close friend. He was also my awesome daddy. So both of those, I think, are ways to pray to God, and I think both of them allow us to have intimacy with him.
Boy, that's just beautiful. Well, we've got to have you back, Dr. Chadwick, because we've touched on one of the 12 strategies. So we're gonna tackle a couple of these with our few minutes that we have left. But let's talk about this one. Talk about fasting.
The whole idea, did you say fasting or casting?
Yes, fasting.
Fasting. Well, the whole idea of fasting is throughout the scripture, and we're called to fast. Normally, people think it's just about food. It's much more than that, Susie. We need to fast from anything that's taken the place of God as our Father, our Daddy, as the ruler of our lives and world. And we have all kinds of things we've replaced him with, from social media to entertainment to sports. And so we're called, I think, not only just to fast from food, but fast from anything that we have caused to be an idol in our life that's replaced the place of the Father himself. And when we do so, those idols are identified. We can cast them down off the throne of our hearts, replace them with our love for the Father. And again, in that faith relationship with Daddy, that's where faith is increased and anxiety decreases. So I think everybody needs some times to fast from food, because perhaps that's become our God, or fast from something else that we've replaced God with. Just make sure you identify it, cast it off the throne of your heart, and replace it with love for Daddy. And when you do so, anxiety flees.
And there's something that's just so powerful, a transaction that happens when we fast. I just know for me, the times when I've said no to my flesh so that I can give a bigger yes to God, you experience something of God that's profound. And sometimes you experience it during the fast, sometimes it's after. But wow, it's an invitation to experience more with the Father. So I think that's so powerful. Okay, talk about cast.
Well, cast comes right after fast, and that's from 1 Peter 5:7. And that is where Peter teaches us to cast all of our cares upon Jesus, because he cares for us. Well, the first thing I emphasize in that chapter is he cares for us. How do we know Jesus cares for us? Well, look at two things. First of all, the incarnation. Look at the cradle. God pursues us by leaving the splendor of heaven to come to the squalor of this world. And when we think about the cradle, we know God loves us. But secondly, look at the cross. Look at the horrific physical pain, but more the spiritual pain that Jesus underwent. Why? Because he loves us. He forgives us. He wants an intimate relationship with us forever by grace through faith. The Holy Spirit then enters our heart as we receive him, and we have his eternal presence. So he cares for us, as seen in the cradle and the cross. Well, then, because of that love, we know we can cast all of our cares upon him. That term cast, Susie, is a forcible throw of something from one place to another. Get in your mind Peter, the fisherman, casting his nets from one side of the boat to another. It's, again, a forcible casting, a throwing away. Think in the terms of Jesus casting out a demon. He didn't politely ask the demon, oh, would you please leave that person? No, he forcibly cast that demon out of that person to another place, even to the place of hell itself. So when we cast our cares upon him, we are forcibly throwing them from our hand to his. We're dropping our hands and then saying, you have them. You've caught this. It's your deal. You've got to take care of this. I walk away from the problem, and I have peace in my heart because anxiety has fled.
I love that. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody make that point, but even the visual of handing that thing over that way, casting it, you know, I love it. Okay, how about, I'm looking at my clock here. I'm good. Consider creation. What about that?
Well, that's the allusion to Matthew 6:25 that I talked about earlier. Jesus says, look at the birds, look at the lilies of the field. And he says, consider creation, see how all of them are cared for by the Father, and how much more will he care for you. I invite the readers to look at creation, look at how everything fits together, look at the photosynthesis of the plants, look at how the waves lap upon the shore, look at how God orders his world. If he has everything ordered so perfectly, you can cast your cares on him and believe that he's caring every single one.
We've got one more minute, so I'm going to talk about this one. Remember your body.
Yeah, that's the fact that we are body, soul, and spirit, and they're all inextricably connected to one another. Oftentimes, when we're not taking care of our body, we're not getting enough sleep, we're eating poorly, or we're drinking too much caffeinated drinks or carbonated drinks, we need to drink more water, that problem in our body is affecting our emotions. And when you're not taking care of your body, it can cause anxiety to increase. So make sure that you have a healthy body. When your body is healthy, it can allow your emotions to operate in a more healthy way as well.
Wow. Well, Dr. Chadwick, again, I'm just so grateful that you joined us, and I want you to come back because I feel like there's so much more in your book that we can delve into. But thank you for shepherding our people today and giving your time and your wisdom to us. We sure appreciated it.
Thank you, Susie. It's a pleasure and privilege being on your show, and I'll come back anytime you ask me. God bless you, my friend.
Good. And you as well. Please greet your dear wife. She's been on the show of Friends before. We'll have to get her back. And here's one last excerpt before we wrap up from Dr. David Chadwick. At the end of history, when Jesus returns, all evil will be overcome, all injustice dealt with. Everyone will be held accountable for how they live their lives. No one gets away with anything. Everything broken will be mended. All will be used for good. Everything will be restored to its original order. Can I get an amen? Thanks so much for tuning in today, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.